We always make a point to worship our Lord in songs and words on each Words of Life program. Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers support this program with prayers and contributions so that we can share the good news of Jesus. Today, our speaker, Brother David Johnson, will tell us Worship the King based upon Zechariah chapter 14, verses 12 through 21. It is important for each of us to give serious consideration to what is said today. We now worship our Lord with song. Please pray with me. Holy Father, as we open this prayer before you, we honor your Son, who willingly shed his blood on the cross of Calvary for the removal of our sins. Thank you for loving us so much. Please use the words of this program to accomplish your holy will. Bless each of our listeners. Bring growth and convictions that are needed, and please help heal the illnesses of those who have concerns and give them your peace. We also ask that you will especially be with the persecuted Christians. Protect them and strengthen their faith. Help the effectiveness of their witness to bring others to Jesus. Many places in the Word show that Jesus is going to return for believers to be taken up with him. Please help us to be ready. In the name of Jesus, amen. Brother David Johnson will now speak on the topic, Worship the King.
It's great to be together again as we look in to the Word of God. The title for the lesson is Worship the King. And the text is found in the book of Zechariah, chapter 14, verses 12 through 21, as we have here an unfulfilled prophetic lesson. Let's please listen to the Word of God. This is the plague with which the Lord will strike all the nations that fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh will rot while they are still standing on their feet. Their eyes will rot in their sockets. Their tongues will rot in their mouths. On that day, men will be stricken by the Lord with great panic. Each man will seize the hand of another, and they will attack each other. Judah, too, will fight at Jerusalem. The wealth of all the surrounding nations will be collected, great quantities of gold and silver and clothing. A similar plague will strike the horses and mules, the camels and donkeys, and all the animals in those camps. Then the survivors from all the nations that have attacked Jerusalem will go up year after year to worship the King, the Lord Almighty, and to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. If any of the peoples of the earth do not go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, they will have no rain. If the Egyptian people do not go up and take part, they will have no rain. The Lord will bring on them the plague he inflicts on the nations that do not go up to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. This will be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that do not go up to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. On that day, holy to the Lord will be inscribed on the bells of the horses, and the cooking pots in the Lord's house will be like the sacred bowls in front of the altar. Every pot in Jerusalem and Judah will be holy to the Lord Almighty, and all who come to sacrifice will take some of the pots and cook in them. And on that day there will no longer be a Canaanite in the house of the Lord Almighty. This is the Word of God. In Zechariah chapter 14 and verses 12 through 15, we have details of the doom of all the nations that will attack Jerusalem and the nation of Israel, yet future to today. So this section cycles back to Zechariah chapter 14 and verses 1 through 3 with more graphic description not previously revealed. These details speak of the supernatural plague God will inflict on them, causing great panic and leading to bountiful plunder of all the surrounding nations that come against God's people Israel. This amounts to God's judgment on all the nations that will seek to annihilate God's original chosen covenant people, Israel. It will be decisive. It will be a plague filled with panic and plunder. Let's look closer. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 12 says in part, "This is the plague with which the Lord will strike all the nations that fought against Jerusalem." This plague will be so overwhelming, immediate, and lethal that it says in part that their flesh will rot while they are still standing on their feet. According to Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 15, a similar plague will strike the horses and mules, so their sources of transportation will also be totally destroyed. This description is set in ancient terms, even though yet future, depicting the complete utter overthrow of those who come against the apple of God's eye, Israel. We should not expect that something that is far into the future would be described in modern terms by the ancient Hebrew prophet Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 13 says, "On that day men will be stricken by the Lord with great panic. Each man will seize the hand of another, and they will attack each other." This will serve to aid the final righteous remnant of Israel that are not taken from Jerusalem, those who flee from God's supernatural creation of a mountain valley as detailed in Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 2 and in verse 5. Confusion and chaos among the invading nations will serve to aid God's surviving people. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 14 says in part, "The wealth of all the surrounding nations will be collected." This speaks of the reversal plunder, with the Jews of Judah gaining great wealth from their surrounding attackers. According to Zechariah chapter 14 and verses 1 and 2, initially it was Jerusalem that was plundered and ransacked. All of this will come to pass, as it is written in verse 3, that says in part, "The Lord will go out and fight against those nations." The next section, Zechariah chapter 14 and verses 16 through 19, in stark contrast to the preceding passage, is a description of blessing and favor to a remnant of the nations that learn righteousness and seek to honor and pay homage to the one true God. Here we have a fantastic portrayal. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 16. "Then the survivors from all the nations that have attacked Jerusalem will go up year after year to worship the King, the Lord Almighty, and to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles." This will happen in the messianic millennial physical political kingdom of Messiah King, reigning on David's throne, even Jesus, on Mount Zion, on this earth, which will be renewed, regenerated for 1,000 years. Charles Feinberg, a very fine Jewish background Christian, writes these words, quote, "The nations will go up representatively, for even all Israel never went up to the feasts to the last man." Leviticus chapter 23, verses 33 through 44. The Feast of Tabernacles is the feast of the millennial age. It was the feast of ingathering and rest, of joy, praise, and thanksgiving. Exodus chapter 23 and verse 16. The other two annual feasts, Passover and Pentecost, are not mentioned because their antitypes have been fulfilled. The Feast of Tabernacles was celebrated on the return of Israel from exile. It is preeminently the feast of joy after the ingathering of the harvest. Consider Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. End of quote. John MacArthur, another fine commentator of Scripture, makes some important points. Quote, "This passage, Zechariah chapter 14 and verses 16 through 19, is a very important one, which reveals that some Gentiles will go into the millennial kingdom alive, along with the redeemed Jews. In the millennium, the Feast of Tabernacles will celebrate Messiah's presence again, dwelling among his people, and the joyful restoration of Israel, including the ingathering of the nations." End of quote. However, during the millennial age, not all is perfect obedience yet. Men born during that time will still have the opportunity to disobey by choice. Consider Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 17. If any of the peoples of the earth do not go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord Almighty, they will have no rain. Verse 18 says in part, the Lord will bring on them the plague he inflicts on the nations that do not go up to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. Since the millennial age will still include disobedience and punishment, it cannot be the final eternal state when we will have neither. So according to Scripture, there is an intermediate age between the church age and the final perfect eternal state. Zechariah, inspired of the Holy Spirit, ends his great prophetic scroll with an emphasis upon holiness. Zechariah chapter 14 and verses 20 and 21 says, on that day, holy to the Lord will be inscribed on the bells of the horses, and the cooking pots in the Lord's house will be like the sacred bowls in front of the altar. Every pot in Jerusalem and Judah will be holy to the Lord Almighty, and all who come to sacrifice will take some of the pots and cook in them. And on that day, there will be no longer a Canaanite in the house of the Lord Almighty. First, we should take note that in spite of many who will be disobedient and even rebel, especially at the end of the 1,000 years, according to Revelation chapter 20 and verses 7 and 9, the Lord's people will be righteous and holy. Again, Charles Feinberg writes, quote, all will be pervaded with holiness. The great goal and objective of all God's dealings with Israel, the church, or any individual heart at any time, the people of God will know in that day the universal holiness which has been the ideal of God for Israel through the centuries. Consider Exodus chapter 19 and verse 6 that refers to, quote, a holy nation, end quote. Even the bells of the horses used for ornament will be inscribed with the very words which were engraved on the tiara or turban of the high priest in Israel. Holy unto the Lord. The pots in the temple were considered the basest objects in the sanctuary, but in the day of Messiah's reign, they will be of equal sanctity with the bowls before the altar, which caught the blood of the victims for sprinkling before the Lord. Where holiness prevails, ceremonial sanctity is unnecessary. If all the vessels of the sanctuary will be on the same plane of holiness because of universal cleansing, even the ordinary pot throughout the nation will be equally dedicated to the Lord. End of quote. A reference to a Canaanite who was known in the ancient world for his ungodly ways, and so here represents an unholy person. It is a negative way of stating that instead of all will be holy in the house of the Lord Almighty, so we also have Messiah King, who is tabernacling, dwelling with his people on this restored earth, in which there will be essentially no distinction between the spiritual and the secular. All will be holy when the Holy One dwells with us. Everything will be set apart, holy for service and honor unto the Lord in his glorious kingdom on earth for 1,000 years, on a renewed earth. As Christians today, as we await the return of our Lord, we should practice 1 John chapter 3 and verses 2 and 3 that says in part, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Also in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 11, it says in part, "Let him who does right continue to do right, and let him who is holy continue to be holy." James Montgomery Boyce, another fine commentator, astutely writes, quote, "We look forward to the day when we will be able to express our love to God fully and know the full measure of His love to us. But this is not the way the Bible speaks of our destiny. It is not the love relationship that is emphasized. The Bible emphasizes that which is the basis of all other experiences, holiness. The reason why our relationship to God is not all it should be is that we are not holy. We need holiness. On that day that we pass from earth to heaven, we will be holy. For we will be like Jesus." 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. We emphasize so many other things. We must find and fulfill God's emphasis, knowing that one day, holy to the Lord, will be inscribed on us, and we will be the Lord's holy people forever. End of quote. And so, dear listener, as we meditate upon these truths, may we strive to purify ourselves even as He is pure. And certainly those who are not yet Christians must receive Jesus as their personal Savior and Lord to be credited with righteousness, to be saved, to become holy positionally in Christ Jesus.
Bye.
Is the Lord Jesus your King? We know that the Bible teaches that a person should first really believe in Jesus if he's going to be your King. The book of Acts shows that we are also to repent of sin, confess Jesus as Savior, and confess that we are sinners. Then we need to be baptized by immersion. We pray that you have done this. If we can help you in your decision for Jesus, please contact us. To receive a free recording of this and last week's program, ask for CD 1912. That's 1912. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. That's Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wolradio@att.net. That's wolradio@att.net. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs, thanking you for listening. Please plan now to tune in again next week at this same time and station for another program from Words of Life.